This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have a high of 35 this afternoon. Right now, 34 degrees. The wind chill index is 27.
The markets have been reacting to a bit of a skirmish, verbal skirmish today at the White House between President Trump and the Democratic leaders of Congress. Let's see what's happening on the markets right now as we go live to Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
That's right, Jim. In the wake of that heated debate between Trump and Pelosi and Schumer in the Oval Office, we saw the Dow go from gains to losses. And right now, the blue chips are down 70 points. NASDAQ up 26, S&P adding 1 point. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up about 0.1%. Investors are concerned if President Trump makes good on his threat to actually close down the government if he doesn't get funding for a border wall. There's a chance it won't happen, but China is looking at reducing its tariffs on cars that are made here. That has helped to give some boost to stocks today, particularly Ford and General Motors, as well as Fiat Chrysler. They're headed higher. But cutting Chinese tariffs would really benefit European automakers even more. China's best-selling car imports are made by BMW and Mercedes right here in America. The prices of goods and services purchased by companies at the wholesale level edged up in November, rising 0.1%. And small businesses are souring on the outlook for the economy. The share of small companies that are expecting the economy to improve dropped in November to a two-year low. That from the National Federation of Independent Business. Back to you, Jim and Chris.
On today's Noon Business Hour, the markets are wobbling as the president threatens to shut down the government over the border wall talks. We will discuss that. And also, at the same time, the president says that trade talks with China are very productive.
Now, you spend all your time at work working, right? Well, if you're doing one particular thing, even for a couple of hours a day, you are not alone. We're going to talk about a possible distraction at work that's tied to the holiday season. We'll take a look on Travel Tuesday at emotional support animals and how airlines are beginning to crack down on them. And if you want to increase your year-end refund or maybe cut your tax bill a bit, we'll have some tax tips to save you some money. That's all ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
This is not one of the best times of the year for worker productivity in many businesses, and we'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, trade talk with China is top of mind today, along with a few key economic reports. And we're joined by Paul Christopher, the head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. So, Paul, before we get into the whole thing about trade talk with China and some of the economic reports, your thoughts on what happened at the White House today and what's happened on the market since?
Well, the markets seem more focused on the trade talks and what's going on in Europe, but eventually the issues between the president and the Democrats who control the House will come more to the fore. We think they have a choice. They can decide to be confrontational with one another, or they can decide to cooperate, in which case the markets would like very much to see an infrastructure bill come out of Congress this year.
Paul, what about the U.S.-China trade situation? How's it looking right now, and what should investors be thinking about as we're watching these developments?
Well, the thing to remember is that the trade tariffs that have been applied by both countries hurt their respective countries. In other words, the tariffs that China imposes hurt China. Those that the U.S. imposes hurt the U.S. So nobody really wants to be responsible for shooting himself in the foot. Therefore, we think that there will be negotiations at some point, but we're still in an early stage. The negotiations are still tentative. They're not even necessarily scheduled yet, but there's speculation that they will be scheduled soon. And in the meantime, China announced that it may be considering cutting tariffs on imports of U.S. automobiles, so that's helping car makers today.
The president said that they are making good progress with China in these talks. What would that mean? What is it that China wants most?
Well, what China wants most is for the U.S. to leave them alone. But what the U.S. wants most is for the Chinese to stop requiring that U.S. companies coming to do business in China with Chinese joint venture partners turn over all of their technology to the Chinese partner. That's just a way to fleece the U.S. of new technology that the Chinese want to catch up with us on. So that's the big issue here, and that's the one where China is going to have to make the most compromises. They may also agree to buy some more natural gas and soybeans from the U.S. That would be a plus for those of us here in the heartland of the U.S. But the trade and the technology is the principal issue here. It will take a long time to resolve, we think.
The markets have been kind of wavy over the international and the national news over the past couple of weeks. What do you see?
Yeah, you know, the trade news is not really new. We've had tariffs now since January of this year, and there's been speculation about negotiations at different points in time, and yet the markets seem to move up earlier during the summer. We think that the real issue right now is principally about growth. What will U.S. economic growth and global economic growth be in the coming year, and what will interest rates be? Will they rise by too much and choke off growth? That's still probably the main issue. And then along comes these news items day to day, and that just sort of further bothers the markets. That's why we have these up days and down days here. But we think we'll work through this. The economy looks really very solid to us going forward.
Paul, what do you think about the producer price numbers and the small business confidence numbers today?
Yeah, the small business confidence numbers were already very high. They slipped a little bit, but we don't take much concern away from that. They're still at very high levels and trending higher. Not really to be concerned there. On the PPI front, the producer price index, prices have been moderating a little bit in the second half of this year. We were looking for that early this year. We don't think it's part of a new downtrend in prices, but we also don't think it's going to be enough to shake the Federal Reserve from a rate hike later this month, actually next week, and probably three more next year. So we think that the inflation trends are still probably positive for households in terms of spending, and they're positive for the economy, but really not weak enough to dissuade the Fed from hiking rates further.
Thanks for joining us today. Paul Christopher is the head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Up next, if you're spending a couple of hours at work each day surfing and shopping, you're part of the crowd.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Surveys indicate Americans are spending almost 2 hours a day shopping online while they're at work. Joining us for the International Autos Orland Park Business Line to talk about the impact is Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President at Challenger Gray and Christmas here in Chicago. Rick, 2 hours? isn't that obvious?
It seems out of character, but it's probably just a different version of what we've been doing as human beings at work forever. Work is very different than it used to be. We spend a lot of time looking for files, typing, making phone calls, traveling to and from destinations. The human brain really can't work for a straight eight-hour day. We've just changed the way we goof off.
Does it hurt the business during this?
It doesn't really. I mean, there's always going to be a bell-shaped curve where there's going to be outliers that are abusing the system and not actually being productive. But, you know, if you go back to 2015, there was a survey done that showed that American workers passed up, didn't use 658 million days of unused time off. So we're not taking days off. The work is getting done. But in the BLS, in a recent survey, that the average worker is really only working about 3 hours plus a day anyway. I know that seems completely counterintuitive, but we spend a lot of our time at work getting ready to do things. And thinking, which is dominant in the workforce today, is very, very difficult. Most people can't think for more than 2 or 3 hours in a day without losing track of what's going on.
Rick, is there a way for employers to turn this into a positive?
Yeah. Well, I think that we're all people, and that includes the CEO all the way through the senior management down to the bottom of the ranks. And so setting an expectation or trying to enforce an idea that really isn't practical with human beings at work, it's better to just accept that people meet their targets. So if you say, instead of how much presenteeism do you have where you sit at your desk and look busy, whether you are or not, it's better to measure the actual productivity of the work. Do the people people are given responsibilities and things they need to accomplish by a certain deadline at a certain level of quality. And if they're meeting and exceeding those targets and deadlines, that's really what you need to get out of your employees. And that allows them to have a life. And look back to the other part of it, which is people don't take time off for work more in the U.S. than probably any other country. Then their work and their life, their regular life, have just kind of blended together. Just understanding that as an employer is the best way to embrace it.
Rick Cobb, the Executive Vice President at Challenger Gray and Christmas here in Chicago. Thanks so much. I was going to ask Rick whether he liked the green sweater or the red sweater I was looking at online. Still ahead on Travel Tuesday, Delta Airlines makes a big change involving emotional support animals.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. It's time to take a look at the markets now. Sponsored by Baird, and here's Lisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is lower by 41 points. Excuse me. NASDAQ is up 22, S&P adding 1. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg higher by 0.1%. Uber has selected Morgan Stanley to lead its public offering next year, sources tell Bloomberg. The bank will reap a larger share of the fees associated with listing. The value of the company is expected to go as high as $120 billion. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Green markets are mixed as we go through the noon hour. This morning's monthly supply-demand report was within expectation. Corn ending stocks were raised 43 million bushels due to a smaller ethanol production number. Soybeans ending stocks unchanged. Wheat ending stocks up 25 million bushels due to lower exports. South America production was raised slightly. Corn futures are down 0.25 cents, up 0.25 cents. Soybeans, 3 to 4 cents higher, and the wheat market, 4 to 5 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Welcome to the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio, WBBM.
Stocks mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Travel Tuesday, tracking the changes in airline policy involving emotional support animals.
The end of the year rapidly approaching. We'll get some help in taking action to limit your tax bill.
Students in Geneva are back in class, and there's a possibility another teacher strike in the northwest suburbs.
President Trump escalates his government shutdown threat during a heated White House meeting with Democratic leaders.
Markets are mixed right now. The Dow down 70, the NASDAQ up 14, S&P 500 down by 1 point.
The WBBM AccuWeather forecast. We have sun mixing with clouds this afternoon, high of 37. Clouds move in tonight. Then we could see an inch to a coating of snow tomorrow, maybe some freezing rain too. The low tonight, 30. The high tomorrow, 38. Right now, it's 34 at O'Hare. WBBM News Time, 12:31.
Well, the markets are fairly quiet this afternoon. Gary Kaltbaum joins us. He's president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor in Orlando. Gary, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What do you see in the markets today?
Well, let me take issue. They are not fairly quiet. The Dow was up 350 early, and now it's down 100. So another one of those wild days all over the map, based on a lot of news events. The latest, I don't know if you saw the 15 minutes of Trump, Pelosi, and Schumer, but that had some things moving. And unfortunately, it's moving the wrong way.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of all through this week, a lot of political news affecting the markets.
Yes, but leave no doubt that the reason why markets have been suffering. Markets around the globe are seeing slowdowns almost everywhere. Germany, the engine of Europe, already announced contraction last quarter. So did Japan. And our GDP predictions have been coming down. I think they were in 3.5%. Now it's in the low twos, and I expect probably lower than that. So that means earnings are going to be lower, and the market's obviously looking at that, and it remains on the defensive.
Do you see a contraction or even a recession in the mirror there?
I can't go there just yet, but I will tell you all the things that usually happen in markets that predict recessions are pretty much happening right now. So it is something that has to be watched. The financials are acting terribly. Retail's acting terribly. The transports just basically dropped 12.5%. in 3 days, 12.5%. And, of course, transports for me are the most economically sensitive area of the market. So something to be watched. But leave no doubt, at the very least, significant slowdowns ahead.
Gary, is it more important now to be focused on the fundamentals than it is to the headlines and what's going on in Washington and what we're seeing in terms of the we don't really know where the trade talks are going with China, for example?
Well, when all said and done, the direction of earnings and interest rates will dictate policy. But you have to realize what happens there matters over here on Wall Street. So if trade's not going well, businesses can't plan effectively, capital spending heads south, and then you get into somewhat of a vicious cycle, and that's what you're seeing, I think, with some things. Now, we're hearing some better trade talk, but I just don't think it's enough just yet. And, of course, the business cycle has not been extinguished. In other words, we really haven't had some sort of downtrend in a while, and we haven't had a bear market since 2009, since the central banks started their massive intervention. So maybe we're finally getting one. It doesn't mean it has to be the end of the world. I've studied 100 years of history of the markets, and bear markets come, and then they go, and we have glorious bull markets afterwards.
What happens to the FANG stocks right now?
Best way I can explain it, they're dead money right now. And it's not because the world's ending for them. It's just because they had such a gargantuan run. They got overloved, overowned, overleveraged with margin. And that's just coming off right now and probably continues for a little bit. My worry of all of them is Facebook, in that millennials are leaving them in droves. They have headline risk on a daily basis. So that's the one I have the biggest issue with, but Amazon's numbers still look good. Oh, by the way, Apple not so great either right now with the iPhone. I got to add that too. So I just wouldn't be buying them right now. I just sit and wait.
Gary, what's out there that maybe a lot of people don't know about that they should?
Well, the most important thing when markets are crappy like this is the greatest money is made out of bear markets, where the great stocks that really want to go higher now are prevented because of how weak the market is. But once the clouds lift, those stocks will, you know, will be like a basketball being held underwater. It'll just shoot out. And those are the ones to follow. So on a daily basis, I keep a list of what companies have the strongest earnings and revenue growth and are holding up best in the worst of markets. Because when the market downtrend ends, usually they're going to lead going forward. And that's what I start concentrating on right now.
Is this a good time to take a good hard look at your portfolio, see how you're distributed, see what you're heavy in, what you're light in, and maybe make some adjustments?
Oh, heck yes. And the reason is there's been some serious losses in some serious groups. And I always tell people, use your sleep indicator, which means if you're not sleeping well at night because of it, you need to do some adjusting. And, you know, in this market, there have been some areas and some stocks down 50 to 70%. So you had better be right. Things like oils and commodities, some of those stocks have just been absolutely trash. So you got to know what's happening out there and at the very least prevent as much losses as possible if this continues.
Thanks so much for coming on with us today. Gary Kaltbaum is president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, Fox News business contributor in Orlando. His website is GaryK.com. Up next, Travel Tuesday, Delta Airlines changing its policy on emotional support animals.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. Effective next week, Delta Airlines is planning kittens and puppies as support animals on flights and all emotional support animals on trips 8 hours or longer. Let's see what's behind this change with Joe Sweeterman. He's professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Joe. Is this something general in the industry?
It will likely move through the industry pretty quickly. It's been, you might say, the story of the year in some ways, just the emotional issues, the YouTube videos, the controversies over pets. And the airline is really struggling to try to make this work. And now Delta has taken a really big step and saying, no emotional support animals, you know, bring your pet cat or your small dog, whatever, less than 4 years old. You simply can't take those on board anymore. And on flights over 8 hours, you can't bring any support animals of any kind, regardless of your documentation. And but they're trying to roll this in gradually. It's only for ticketing after December 18th, which is next week. And you know, so people are planning to book can still you know, move ahead. But they're gonna have a grace period to February 1. But boy, that's going to cost some people some money, since the fee for Delta is $125 to put the animal in a cage on board.
Yeah, and if people say, I really need that animal to come with me, or else I'm not going to be able to travel, and goes to another airline, then Delta's going to be losing some business.
Yeah, it is, and we'll see if other airlines match, because it's a big driver of market share. People travel to Florida, they want to bring the pet, and you know, you pay $250 round trip to bring the dog, that's certainly going to be a deal breaker, $200 each way internationally. I think, though, we're seeing just the airlines trying to deal with what's been an explosion of pet use on board. I mean, Delta says the number of carrying animals is up 84%. We've had, unfortunately, some really high-profile instance of a 70-pound dog on board that bit somebody and making a mess on board. And I think, unfortunately, we all know what it's like on a plane these days. You know, planes go out jam-packed. And a variable like that can certainly make things worse.
You've talked, Joe, about some of the issues that have come up because of this. What kind of an effect has this had on the airlines and their bottom line, especially since I imagine a lot of people are doing this to avert the cost of having to ship their pets, essentially, in cargo, for instance, or with special arrangements, rather than just having them aboard as companion animals?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And airlines, last year, for the first time, the amount of ancillary fees people paid actually came down. People are figuring out how not to check that bag, you know, how to bring that pet on board. And, of course, the bottom line will not be hurt if they start charging. And you feel bad for people that bring pets and do it, have emotional needs, and the pet behaves themselves. There's just abusers out there, you might say, that have forced the airlines to have sort of a no-tolerance policy on this. And I think we'll see new markets emerge. That's the exciting part, that, you know, companies that will ship your pet for less than paying, like Delta encourages big pets to go via their cargo operation, Delta Cargo. But that's pretty expensive. So I think we'll see niches emerge to get your pet, get Fido down to your destination without necessarily bringing it on board.
Joe, how did this whole thing evolve? How did we get to this point?
It is interesting. There's so many big issues with aviation, and then pets are the story of the year. You know, I think when I look at kind of what happened really since the United Airlines incident to the Louisville passenger a year and a half ago, and the YouTube videos, and United's taken it on the chin with some bad reports of pets dying. So they took the first step and said, you can't bring certain kind of pets on board, no pit bulls, no boxers, you know, because of the nature of their respiratory system, make them high risk, and they may behave erratically. And so every airline's trying their own new method here, but they're not necessarily matching each other. So we'll see how it shakes out, if they all follow Delta, or Delta will ease off a little bit, because it's you know, thousands of people daily. They carry 700 pets a day, so it's a headache for lots of people.
All right. Thanks for all the info. Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University, and join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, end of year tax tips.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Time's quickly running out to make tax moves before the calendar turns to 2019. And joining us on the International Auto's Orland Park Business Line is Eva Rosenberg, known worldwide as the Tax Mama, and author of the new book, The Trump Tax Cut, Your Personal Guide to the New Tax Law in Los Angeles. And Eva, I imagine that especially since this is the first filing season we've had, you know, with these new tax rules and a lot of them coming in, people need to really pay attention and make sure that they're in a good position, not only to increase their refund, but to make sure they're not surprised when they actually get the tax bill.
Jim, you're so right. And the IRS has figured out that most of the people working at the IRS are going to end up owing money from their, because of the new paycheck withholding calculator. And so they're telling everyone to do a withholding checkup on their payroll, because they may find themselves in trouble.
How far off can it be? Do we have any idea of where you think you're withholding enough to where your target is, whether it is you want to pay just enough or you're looking to get a refund or whatever. How far off can these tax calculators be? Do we know?
They can be pretty far off. And you know, for some people, even a couple of $100s may be a real hardship. For other people who are counting on refunds, they may not be getting them. So if they do that checkup now, and I'm going to have the link on the Tax Mama site today, they do the checkup now, they have time to either plan or change the withholding before the end of the year.
But what do the elderly need to know?
Oh, good question, Chris. Right now, there is a deadline for people who are age 70 and a half to make their required minimum distribution from their retirement accounts before the end of the year so they don't face a major penalty. And if they don't really need the money and don't want it to be taxable, they can have it sent directly to their charity and still have it count.
All right. Other inside information that many people may have forgotten about or don't know about? Any tips?
Yeah. This is the best time to make sure you maximize your retirement contributions. There may still be time to do that with the last couple of paychecks because that's the best way to get your income down. You can make your January mortgage payment a little bit early. Don't make it too early because you want to use up all of the accrued interest. And especially for people who have been contributing to their flexible spending account all year, if they don't use it up by getting the medical services and turning in the bills, especially turning in the bills, they could lose that money. So get that done before December 31st.
And Eva, these are great ideas because withholding is probably not going to save you at this point. So these are all ways that you can really get your income and your paid taxes and your deductions back in line so that you're not really stuck with a hefty bill at the end of the year.
Yeah, and there's one more thing. You've got to remember that people can get free capital gains. So those people in the lowest two tax brackets for married couples that could be up to $77,000, they could sell off some of their investments and get a zero capital gains rate. So that's another shot.
All right, that's Eva Rosenberg, whose website is taxmama.com. Remember, there's going to be a link there later today with some key tips on how you can cut your tax bill before the end of the year. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Kaler Luggage.
Here's Chris, President Trump this afternoon threatened to shut down parts of the government over his promised border wall with Mexico and said the military could build the wall if Democrats refuse to vote in favor of the project. So we saw some losses there for the Dow, and now all three of the main benchmarks are in the red. The blue chips losing 185 points, NASDAQ down now 30 points to 69.92, and the S&P is lower by 13. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 0.2%. Right after the announcement, the verbal sparring between the president and Senator Chuck Schumer and House Leader Nancy Pelosi was when we started to see the losses. And then the other issue is the on-again, off-again trade tensions are back on. The Washington Post reports the Trump administration is preparing a series of actions this week to call out Beijing for what it says are China's continued efforts to steal America's trade secrets and advanced technologies. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.